Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Our interview today is sponsored by a hidden gem in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by healthcare veterans Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora offers cutting-edge therapies like whole-body cryotherapy, infrared saunas, LED light treatments, and assisted stretching, all designed to relieve pain, reduce stress, and boost recovery. Whether you're an athlete, a busy professional, or simply seeking balance, Alora provides personalized care in a serene setting. Located at 821 C Highway 12 across from Kroger, it's your local destination for modern wellness. Discover more at aloramodernwellness.com. We are coming down here to the end of our opponent previews, which means some of these people we're seeing this week, we'll see them again in a few weeks when we actually have to talk about these games. But Lulu Kesson joins us now, covers the Gamecocks for the Greenville News. And we'll start with the injury questions, because it feels like South Carolina, maybe more than anybody in the SEC, this offseason camp has not been kind to them. The big names, Jacarius Peake and Dylan Stewart, what's the status on those guys? Do they expect them to be ready for this week three game?
Yeah, if I, you know, I had to guess, I would say yes, based on what I'm hearing and based on, you know, what Shane has said. He just talked about an hour or so ago, talked about, you know, he was kind of honest in the sense of like contact is the next big milestone they sort of have to hit. We've seen some practice, not a lot. They haven't really participated at all. Peake was walking around without even shoes on, and Dylan has just sort of been off to the side. You know, rest is kind of the key thing for him right now. I have a hard time believing they wouldn't play against Mississippi State, giving, the importance of that game and it still being week three. Yeah, you know, it's early, but at the same time, I just kind of feel like the vibe is maybe rest extra a little bit week one and two and be ready for three. But of course, classic college football, there's never really anything certain or specific given on injuries.
Yeah, no question about that. If you're doing good if you can get an upper body or lower body out of some people most days. So with this South Carolina team, it feels like they have some really good pieces. I think that the addition of Kendall Briles and what he can do as a play caller, we all saw what he was able to do at Arkansas with a quarterback who I like, K.J. Jefferson, Mississippi kid. Lenore Sellers is more talented than K.J. Jefferson was. It feels like this is a team that has a high ceiling, but there's also a low floor. This is a team that it could just go the way it went a season ago. Am I right in my assessment there? Do you think this is a team that, hey, they could find a way to win eight or nine games, but they could also win four games and have a new coach?
Absolutely. I think that's really accurate. I do think it, as of right now, my feelings, you know, lean a little bit more towards, okay, they could win eight or nine games. Of course, unfortunately, given, you know, the depth in some spaces, they could be one or two serious injuries away from winning only four. You never know what's going to happen. But I think this team absolutely has the pieces. It just depends on how quickly they all mesh, because that is the risk that coaches kind of gamble with when you build a lot through the transfer portal. Like, yes, there's a team chemistry element. Of course, it's not the same as maybe a basketball team when it's five players sharing one ball on the court. You know, it's a little bit different when you have football, but it's still, I think Kendall Briles, he's going to bring a new light to the offense. And I think that was the biggest thing across the board, right? Yes, they have to protect Lenore's better. Yes, the O-line has to be better. Yes, they have to run the football a lot better than they did. But overall, it seems like KB, as they call him, is kind of breathing more life into the room and into the offense and into a quarterback that has a lot of potential and just took a step back last year for what I see as a number of reasons.
I look at this game, and this is maybe the two most exciting quarterbacks in the conference from an athleticism standpoint. You know, Sellers is obviously a little further down the road, a little bit more mature than Kamario Taylor is, but it feels like this could be a game where big play after big play, and, you know, most of the nation's going to be tuning in for Ole Miss LSU a little later that evening, but this is a game kind of under the radar that it's really big for both teams, and I think this could be a big play, big score kind of game.
Absolutely. And I was talking with Sam, the reporter for the USA Today network that I work with, about this game. And we both kind of agreed that, you know, it's a coin flip in a way. I see it being really close. And you have two coaches that, you know, there's a lot of, I wouldn't say a lot on the line, but just a lot going into this year for both of them. And you have, like you said, two really great quarterbacks that have a lot to prove. And I think both, you know, programs showed obviously some bad, but flashes still of good in 2025. And when even just like you mentioned, the stake of it being week three, and it no one's going to be talking about it, right? With the whole Lane Kiffin Ole Miss LSU situation. So I think it's going to make up for kind of like a classic, really great football game when you have two quarterbacks that want to completely wipe away all that happened in the SEC last year. And the best way to do that is a week, you know, SEC opening win. And Lenoris not only didn't get that last year, but didn't even play the second half against Vanderbilt. So that's, you know, all added layers to exactly your point where I think it's shaping up to be a really good game.
I feel like him. We know South Carolina has with Sellers at the wide receiver position. Nick Harbor, really good player. Bennett has had some experience there. Nitro Tuggle, we'll see how he works out. He's an all name team guy. We had a segment on this show when he was at Georgia that people still talk about when we're talking about Nitro Tuggle. But at the running back position, you know that Browse offense. It's a run first offense. You know Rocket Sanders, who of course ended up at South Carolina, but he was so good at Arkansas when Kendall Browse was there. Who are the running backs for this Gamecock team? Do they have a guy who can be that kind of running back for them?
Yeah, last week Beamer was kind of talking about those position battles, and he, I think, of any coach is really cautious to be very general when talking about the depth chart, but he sort of wants somebody to break away in that competition. He wants somebody to assert themselves that, you know, that we can't say no to you as that number one guy. I have always sort of had my eye on Christian Clark from Texas, just because I think that regardless of how much you played in the SEC, if you've run the ball in the SEC, that's valuable experience, and that's experience that is going to carry, you know, with you through the transfer portal. I think he's had a good camp so far. He seems like a very lively and kind of sure of himself kind of guy, fun to talk to. But obviously, fans really love Matthew Fuller here. He's somebody that had a 72-yard touchdown, I think it was, against LSU last year, but then wasn't really utilized once again, even that game. So I think, you know, when I talked to Shane in June, he said that he thinks this is the strongest running back room he has. And I understand, you know, obviously there's a coach speak element of that, but I see his point in the sense that there was kind of a weird drop off last year where he, you know, put a lot of pressure and sort of betted on, you know, Rasul Faison having a good year, and he sort of just underperformed, and he was older, and then the people behind him just weren't producing as well. So I think I would have to say, you know, naming names, it's probably a lot of Matthew Fuller, a lot of, you know, a lot of Christian Clark, could be some Jaron Howell. There's, you know, Isaiah Augustave, I think is how you say his last name. He could, you know, peep in there too, but I think those are sort of the top two that right now I would expect to make the biggest impact on the field.
We all know the name Dylan Stewart on that South Carolina defense, one of the best pass rushers in the country. Mississippi State has the unfortunate privilege of, in two of their first three games, they're going to play Anthony Smith at Minnesota and then Dylan Stewart, two of the top pass rushers in the country. But who are the other names to know on this Gamecock defense? This is a defense that has a lot of experience coming back from a season ago. Who are the playmakers for them?
Yeah, specifically, I'll talk about Julian Walker first, and he's somebody one of my best friends covered Michigan and covered him out of high school. And the second that he flipped was like, have fun. He is so fun to watch. And we met him, and he's listed as 6'6". He said he grew half an inch over the summer, and I don't doubt that. He looks more towards, you know, 6'7". And he just seems like a type of guy that's been really impressive in camp. He talked a lot about not wanting to make freshman mistakes, and to some degree, they're bound to happen. And sometimes when you think too much about preventing them, they happen. But he does seem to have a good head on his shoulders, mature. I think even, you know, opposite or in place of Dylan, depending on how much he's playing, could be an absolute, you know, game changer this year. And I think across the board, the defense needed to get older, and they did. You know, Fred J.R. Johnson, a linebacker, had a really good year, but just wasn't old enough in my eyes to be as consistent as they needed him to be. And you're returning, you know, Justin Okoronkwo, who is from Oklahoma or Alabama, excuse me, and he's older. I think this defense, you know, Gabriel Brownlow Dindy is somebody that's been on the, you know, the defensive line for a bit, and he's an A&M kid turned South Carolina. Like, they have some older guys, like you mentioned, and last year they just were really young in some key spots that I think they've aged up a little bit now. But definitely, I would predict early signs. I think Julian Walker could have a really big year specifically.
You know, as I mentioned a second ago, Mississippi State at Minnesota the week before this game. So the Bulldogs kind of have a little bit of test before they have to come to South Carolina. South Carolina's first two games are probably their two most winnable games of the season. We're talking about their non-conference games. The other one, of course, we know is at the end with Clemson. How worried are you about the Gamecocks not really having tasted a true test before Mississippi State arrives.
Yeah, that's a good point, because when you look at Lenoris's first year, right, he played against ODU, and then everyone was like, oof, I don't know about this kid, because the first game nerves were just start to finish. And then he, drops however many points he had against Kentucky the week later, and that was a total shock. And then last year, it sort of felt like a little bit of an up and down, right? They kind of were tested against Virginia Tech, SC State didn't, and then, in my opinion, just did not show up in any way, shape, or form against Vanderbilt on home field at night in Williams-Brice Stadium. I think that can't happen again, right? Yeah, it's not a night game, but it's a home game at Willie B. It's an important year, and I do think things really need to click week one and two. A lot of South Carolina's problems, and I don't mean to keep harping on the youth, but it's just a really, a big factor that hurt them last year, where, you were talking to players in November and they were like, yeah, we need to find an identity. Like, you got to find an identity in August. And I think that that's a point of emphasis that they have in training camp this year that hopefully for their sake will help them kind of ease that gap, because you do make a great point where, Minnesota is a much different opponent than Townsend beforehand to kind of be prepared for what the SEC brings.
I feel like these are the two coaches, Jeff Lebby and Shea Bieber, that you said prior to the season who are on the hot seat in this conference. These are the two guys. These are one, two, however order you want to put them in. I've been saying for the past 2 weeks, if Mississippi State can beat Minnesota, whatever happens to South Carolina can just kind of happen. If they win, they lose, it's fine. Bounce back the next week, you're okay. What is the mood in Columbia if Mississippi State beats South Carolina?
Yeah, I think it's honestly one of their biggest games of the season, for because I think if you say, you're 2-0, you lose to Mississippi State, then you're 2-1 going to Alabama. And it sort of, you look at like, okay, miracles have to happen. It's college football. We've seen crazy things happen. We've seen, teams underperform, lose to an opponent, beat a really great one the following week. I think South Carolina has to beat Mississippi State. I know that just sounds kind of simple and plain, but I think it's a game where I'm not saying that because Mississippi State is so much worse. I think it's two, really talented teams, but I think you need to be 3-0 heading into Alabama if you're Shane Beamer fighting for his job. Now, I probably think his hot seat is a little colder than other people do. I just think there's a lot of factors, one being their basketball coach is also on the hot seat and plays a season later. There's factors there. There's financial elements to it all, but
Only so much money.
yeah, exactly. And those are two hefty buyouts. So I do think that it's a must-win game for a lot of, reasons, but the main being you're kind of in good shape, kind of to your point you made about Mississippi State. If you're, 3-0 heading into Alabama, expectations are you're not going to beat Alabama. You'd look really great if you beat Alabama, and you set yourself up for what's, a very hard October, which is at Florida, at Oklahoma, with Tennessee, the home game in between.
Something about hard Octobers. Mississippi State's October is Alabama at LSU, Oklahoma at Texas. So the month of October, Halloween, a month of horrors. It's going to be that way for both of these teams, it seems. All right. Thanks so much, Lulu. We appreciate your time here on the podcast. We'll talk to you again in, I guess, about 4 weeks, 3 weeks from now when we get ready to preview this one. Lulu Kesson from the Greenville News. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.